Here's our TSN hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. What's happening, Pierre?
Gentlemen, I've been listening for the last hour. Another fantastic radio show.
Thank you, sir.
Wow. It's because your Cowboys won. That's why. He's very, very good mood right now.
This is how, vain a person I am. I walked down this morning. I had to drive my oldest daughter to school. And I'm like, I literally have a bounce in my step. And she looked at me. She's 12. She goes, oh, the Cowboys won last night.
Yep. Yep, they did.
What can I say? That's who I am. Yep. You know?
I like it. It's pure. It's absolutely 100%.
I'm just telling you, they suck, and they're not that good.
Yeah, Taysom Hill
must have been wearing a Cowboys jersey last night.
Brother.
Right.
By the way, old dog, you still owe me dinner for the first game of the year, but anyway.
Thanks, buddy. I know that.
I owe you a bottle of wine, too, but that's...
You do.
This different stuff. I don't know what I'm going to see you again. I'll see you at some point. The new year, I'll hook you up. 100%. Okay. But, we were talking about the CFL story, the bending of rules and the protocols. And I wonder if you could apply it to the NHL, Pierre. Put yourself in this position where, it's the East Final or West Final, and Connor McDavid has broken a protocol. Do you think the league, the NHL, would bend the rules to make sure that he doesn't miss a game?
I mean, I know. And by the way, you laugh about that, but go back to how we were all feeling after the Canucks had the awful COVID outbreak pre-vaccination last spring, right? And we were heading into the playoffs, and I think I talked about this with you guys on one of the shows, but the NHL had a board of governors meeting just before the playoffs last spring, and basically said, and Gary Bettman was on the call and said, listen, I don't know what to tell you guys, but if you guys have an outbreak, we're not delaying your playoff series. So make sure everyone's following the protocols and the rules. It was a bit, it was a bit of an eye opener, but it's a reminder that we continue to live through, and again, that was last year, not this season, but my point is we continue to live through this pandemic, and there are rules, there are protocols, and listen, the NHL is still dealing with a number of COVID cases, despite the fact that all but one player in the entire league is vaccinated. It continues to threaten Olympic participation for sure. It's what we're living with. So, I don't cover the CFL for a living, but the story itself didn't shock me because this is what all the leagues are dealing with.
Pierre, you cover the Habs quite a bit. I saw that you had some bullet points on, what you got out of Jeff Gorton's presser. Paraphrase some of the things you heard or some of the things you liked or what you believe he's going to be able to do there in Montreal.
Yeah, I thought he had himself really well. I mean, that can be pretty imposing and nerve-wracking, as an English-speaking guy, as an American guy to come in and deal with your first press conference in Montreal, and I thought he was really good. If I have one criticism is that he did not provide much clarity on the chain of command confusion as far as his role and the future GM, which was the same thing that happened with Jeff Molson on Monday. There's a bit of gray area there as far as
Pierre, it's probably because it's difficult to explain that you want to bring in a GM, but he's not really in charge of anything because Gorton is.
Yeah, well,
it's a weird dynamic.
Maybe, but there are other ways to go about it, I guess, is what I would say. But in any case, that it is what it is. And I thought that, he certainly had to sort of deflect the stick handle around the Patrick Roy questions. It's clear that... there is momentum growing in that market to want him, at least in some quarters. They were chanting his name in the Bell Center last night in the third period. I don't have any inside information here. It's just my opinion that if Jeff Molson wanted Patrick Roy, he would have hired him for the job he gave Jeff Gorton, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I could be wrong about that, but I think that the GM they're looking for will be a younger person that Jeff Gorton will help mold, is my sense of it.
October 2022, does Carey Price have a Habs jersey on?
Yeah, that's a good question, O'Dog. And then, I guess I'm somewhat to blame. I was the first really to go there Tuesday on insider trading. And because I think it's really the obvious. I heard Noodles last hour, Mike Johnson. you guys talk about it. And I wrote about The Athletic Wednesday, you know, with a bit more detail, but it's the most important conversation Jeff Gordon's going to have, and the new GM is going to be with Carey Price eventually. Not now, obviously. I mean, right now, we don't know when Carey Price will be back. Don't know what he's going to be like coming back from the knee surgery. He's gone through something very serious in his own life, right? But if he's back stopping pucks and being Carey Price again, that's the conversation for a rebuilding Montreal Canadiens team. And for two reasons. One, you know, do you want a 34-year-old goalie taking up that much cap space as part of your rebuild? And two, does a 34-year-old goalie who's going to the Hall of Fame one day want to stick around for a rebuild? And I think there's probably going to be a mutual sense of it all between Jeff Gordon and Carey Price eventually, is my guess. Now, it's also Carey Price's right to say, I'm retiring a Montreal Canadian. I have a full no move, and that's what I want. And if he does, we, you know, that's his call, and we should respect that. I just think myself, reading between the lines, I think emotionally, I know it was a very specific act for a very specific reason, but the fact that emotionally he waived his no move, potentially to go to Seattle in the expansion draft, was nevertheless something that he did. And he was obviously ready for the ramifications had Seattle taken him. And believe me, the Kraken thought long and hard about it. So the fact that I know it's Seattle and it's where he spends part of his offseason in Tri-Cities where he met his wife, but I think deep down it starts to set you up in the subconscious that maybe you're ready to have a conversation again. So I do think that conversation is coming. I just don't know when exactly and how it's going to go.
Yeah, and then the dynamics of trading a contract to that extent is just so complicated. I mean, Carey Price at 10.5, and I think he's still a great big game goalie, but it's the regular season has not been great for him the last couple of years. So you better have a team. You probably need a tandem goalie, right? You can't expect Carey to play 65 games. So that's another thing.
65 games in my mind anymore. But
no, but the point being is you're not, if you have, let's say you have Carey, let's say hypothetically the Habs chew on $4 million, which is a lot. That's still, he's still at 6.5. You're going to need the backup to play 30, 35. You're looking at 3.5 for that guy. Or four, you know, the Mrazek deal. You're looking at 3.8. So I don't know. I don't know what the dynamics are. And quite frankly, I don't know what you can expect in return with a contract like that and Carey Price at 34.
And that's a great point right there, is that because he has the full no move and a very difficult contract to move, even with the Habs retaining a big chunk of the salaries, 4.5 years left on that deal. In real life, by the way, the cash actually gets lowered, but this is all about the cap for a contender anyway. I don't know what the return really is. I think it's really about the fact that you're being, you know, it reminds me a bit in a way to a smaller degree of Chicago basically putting Duncan Keith exactly where Duncan Keith wanted to go. I mean, that's really, I mean, you know, you would think that given that Carey Price just brought his team to the Stanley Cup final, you're going to get an asset or two, but perhaps not to your point, to the level you think, because of the contract. Right. I mean, that's all part of the transaction here is the cap implication. So, you know, I know that there are a lot of Habs fans already dreaming up on Twitter last night, you know, can you get a Samuel Girard and a first out of Colorado, so on and so on. Who knows? But certainly Colorado and Edmonton are the two teams that jump to mind for me if anyone is even going to try and go down the dance of how it works cap-wise for their team.
Wow.
Right. And Edmonton's a team that's gapped out. You know, you'd have to be ultimately extremely, you know, creative. And it's not like the other thing you add in there, this isn't an expiring contract. This isn't a contract that, you know, Duncan Keith's deal is done in a year and a half. Carey Price's is 4.5. Now, you know, as much as I love Carey and as much as I believe, and I think we all believe, he's a big game goaltender. He's the type of guy you want in your organization. You also have to be mindful. Like what, you know, if you're going to spend, let's say, $6.5 million, but it's the next 4.5 years. It's not the next year and a half, 2 years, 2.5 years, where you're like, you know, some managers have no problem going, you know what, I gave the guy 6 years because the last two of them aren't going to go well or whatever. You kick the can down the road. You're not kicking the can down the road with Carey Price. You're hoping that he's going to give you quality goaltending you know, for the most of the rest of the life of that contract. That's a big challenge if you're one of these organizations looking to acquire him, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's why, as much as the Habs season itself is done, like they're not going anywhere, it's not meaningless to the Habs and to Carey Price and to teams potentially keeping an eye on him. Because his return, whenever that is, and how he plays, and whether or not he plays for Team Canada at the Olympics, if in fact they are going to the Olympics, all these things are major moments in the season that could affect the conversation we're having. And the conversation we're having goes behind all these things that have to happen first, is what I'm saying. Like, Carey Price has to come back and show that he's Carey Price. An Olympic moment could be huge in that narrative, right? And then it's like, you get closer to March 21st, and a late trade deadline certainly helps in this entire conversation, right? It's a late trade deadline. Does a team blink and say, man, this guy still, when he's on his game, can absolutely single-handedly help us win a cup because we got the rest of the team in front of him? Mm-hmm. Does that happen? I can't answer that question, but a lot of things have to happen before a team even wants to have that conversation, which is they want to see him back healthy and being the Carey Price of old.
Yeah, and that is going to be a fascinating dynamic for Jeff Gordon and whoever the GM is, assistant GM, whatever you want to call it, moving forward. On top of what else you have there in Montreal and trying to figure out what you want to keep, what you think is of value, because it's become clear now. I mean, we're 20, 25 games into it. There are certain teams who can start preparing for the trade deadline and know what they are. Like, I can't wait to see what Seattle does. Seattle is, you know, they're not a good team. And they just went through the whole process. They've traded for guys. They signed guys. They gave their goalie a long-term deal, and he was brutal at the start of the year. And I don't see them digging themselves out of it. I think Seattle's probably done. What does Ron Francis do there? Who does he trade? What is, you know, there's just teams already. Ottawa, Montreal, we know it. Vancouver,
well,
teams are done.
And ironically, not ironically, but there's a tie in there where I think Seattle and Montreal both have an obvious trade bait item that is of great interest to contending teams. Mark Giordano is a pending UFA, and Ben Chiarot is a pending UFA.
Right.
And Ben Chiarot had an excellent playoff last year. I talked about this on Insider Trading yesterday, but I can already tell you that I spoke to a couple of contending teams yesterday who said he's right up their list. They want to try and get Ben Chiarot for their playoff run. And clearly, Mark Giordano is obviously a whole level above that. If you can snag him, you know, that's not as obvious a situation. It may be that he wants to see this through in Seattle, so that could be a bit different, but he is a pending UFA is what I'm saying. So, you know, does Calgary circle back and try to bring Mark Giordano home?
Right.
That would be a fascinating storyline to me, given how hard the Flames tried to keep him out of the expansion draft. And the fact that the Flames look like a contender right now. So lots of interesting things, but, you know, for sure, to me, Ben Chiarot, I think, will be, I mean, I think the Habs will get a first-round pick for him, I'll tell you right now.
Wow. Yeah, well, listen, when you consider the way he performed last year, all four rounds, man, he was
and
a beast.
He's close, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's either, well, Josh Anderson has 7 goals, but I think Chiarot has 5 goals already, which he's not known as a, you know, a super offensive guy, but... You know, Chiarot has played well, and you know what you can get from him. So it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. Because you're right, Hayes, like Montreal, there are going to be teams that are going to go, okay, as we get closer to the deadline or after Christmas, like maybe we'll get in front of this.
Jump the gun.
Player.
Exactly. Absolutely. You know. And on the flip side, the teams that are contending and know they are, they want to get out in front too.
Right.
Right? Grab that player before anyone else will if you're willing to pay the price. So I could see that for sure being the case come January, certainly into early February. All right, buddy. We'll leave it there. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll do it again soon.
Well, and you didn't ask me about the Red Hot Leafs, so I'm in trouble.
Do you have anything for us? What are they doing? Are they getting?
I'm using the Chris Johnson juggernaut word for the Leafs, and some Leaf fans are upset that they think I'm jinxing them. So,
15 of 17. I mean, what else can you say about this team right now?
I mean, first of all, I don't have the power to jinx a team. I hope everyone realizes that. But they're the best team in the league right now.
Ooh, that's more than a juggernaut, Pierre. The best team in the league. That goes because juggernaut could apply to 5, 6, 7 teams. Best team in the league can only apply to one.
I think they are right now. Right now, they're playing the best hockey in the National Hockey League. Now, ask me next week if I feel the same.
Right. It's always subject to change, but that's Oh, yes, you can bank on it. Yes. You can bank on that coming up weekly from here on out. Thank you, Pierre.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
There's Pierre LeBrun, TSN Hockey Insider.